हाय इन्वेस्टर्स, वेलकम टू SOIC। तो आज हम SOIC में फर्स्ट टाइम एवर वर्ल्ड वाइज पॉडकास्ट सीरीज करने वाले हैं। एंड टुडे विद अस हमने एक बहुत कंटेम्प्रेरी इन्वेस्टर को बुलाया है। रीजन फॉर कंटेम्प्रेरी इन्वेस्टर बिकॉज काफ़ी सारे यंगस्टर्स हमारे चैनल को देखते हैं एंड काफ़ी सारे जो न्यू इन्वेस्टर्स हैं वो भी देखते हैं। एंड कंटेम्प्रेरी इन्वेस्टर्स को बुलाने से क्या होता है कि हमें बहुत रीसेंट और लाइफ केस स्टडीज मिलती है। सो टुडे वी हैव इनवाइटेड मिस्टर अरविंद कोठारी फ्रॉम निवेश आय। इज अ चार्टर्ड अकाउंटेंट एंड इन्होंने CFA भी करा हुआ है। एंड इसके साथ साथ ओवर द ईयर्स ही इज बीन प्रैक्टिसिंग द स्कटलबट फॉर्म ऑफ इन्वेस्टिंग, कि जहाँ पे ये मैनेजमेंट के साथ कनेक्ट बनाते हैं, सप्लायर्स के साथ कनेक्ट बनाते हैं, कस्टमर्स के साथ कनेक्ट बनाते हैं। एंड वहाँ से जाके ही ट्राइज टू फाइंड इन्फॉर्मेशन कि बिजनेसेस में क्या चल रहा है, कौन सा बिजनेस क्या कर रहा है। प्रॉक्सी इन्वेस्टिंग का इन्होंने बहुत ओवर द ईयर्स इस चीज़ को पॉपुलराइज करा है कि अगर ये ट्रेंड अच्छा कर रहा है तो उसके वो प्रॉक्सी प्लेयर्स को कैसे देखें। वैल्यू चेन एनालिसिस इन्होंने ओवर द ईयर्स काफ़ी करा है। एंड ही इज़ ऑल्सो वन ऑफ माई डियर फ्रेंड्स बिकॉज आई थिंक कि अगर हम कंटेम्प्रेरी इन्वेस्टर से, अपनी एज के इन्वेस्टर से जो हमसे 5-6 साल ज़्यादा बड़ा हो और उनसे हम चीज़ें सीखें तो हमें बहुत रेलिवेंट और रीसेंट केस स्टडीज मिलती है। एंड द पर्पज ऑफ दिस सीरीज इज टू बिल्ड एन लिटरेचर ऑफ इंडियन इन्वेस्टर्स, कि हम डिफरेंट डिफरेंट इंडियन इन्वेस्टर्स के साथ एक लिटरेचर बिल्ड करेंगे जिसके थ्रू जो भी यंगस्टर्स हैं या जो भी इन्फॉर्म्ड इन्वेस्टर्स भी हैं जो रीसेंट केस स्टडीज और रीसेंट पैटर्न रिकग्निशन चाहते हैं इंडियन कॉन्टेक्स्ट के अंदर, that is something that this series will offer to them. And one more thing to remember, ki throughout this video, we have done discussion on multiple businesses and multiple stocks. So no stock in this video is a bias and recommendation. And the purpose of this video is to truly educate you ki aapko pattern recognition kaise karni chahiye aur businesses ko kaise identify karna chahiye. With this, we welcome Mr. Arvind Kothari. And iske saath saath hum kya karenge, jo bhi aapki key learnings these videos se, post the video is over, do let us know in the comment section below. With this, let's start. Hi investors, welcome to SOIC. So in today's podcast, which is the part of our first ever Worldly Wise series, we'll be hosting Mr. Arvind Kothari. And Arvind sir ko main mazak mein Virat Kohli of Investing World bhi kehta hu. And we are extremely happy to have you here, sir.
Thank you so much, Ishmael, to invite me. It's a lovely place that you set up and I'm really looking forward to it.
Right. So I've been knowing Arvind sir for almost now last 3 years,
yes.
Almost 3 years हो गए. एंड ही इज समवन जो हमें भी बहुत इंस्पायर करते हैं इन्वेस्टिंग जर्नी में. तो विद दिस लेट्स स्टार्ट. एंड व्हाट वी विल डू इन दिस पॉडकास्ट इज दैट वी विल डिवाइड द पॉडकास्ट अबाउट दिस इन्वेस्टिंग जर्नी एक्सपीरियंस विद मल्टीपल डिफरेंट मार्केट साइकिल्स. एंड देन वी ऑल्सो डिस्कस अ लॉट ऑफ बिजनेसेस, प्रॉक्सी इन्वेस्टिंग ट्रेंड्स, व्हाट आर डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ थीम्स ऑफ इन्वेस्टिंग. एंड देन वी विल ऑल्सो टेक सम ऑफ द की टेक अवेज फॉर द यंगस्टर्स हु आर वॉचिंग दिस सेशन. सो विद दिस आई विल स्टार्ट सर. तो How did you get into investing? What was the fascination with investing? कैसे एकदम start हुआ सर?
So it is a very funny story actually. My friend, you know, used to trade in stocks since, you know, he was in 10th standard because one of his, you know, cousins was into investing. So, you know, I used to look at him and he used to be very fascinated and happy some days, and I thought that I should also, you know, try that. And that was something just came from the liking of doing something very exciting. It was no thought process behind it. So when I was in maybe, you know, 12th grade, that's when I also, you know, started trading with him. So it was just a lucky affair with one of the friend already being in, you know, the trading fraternity, trading world, and hence I got introduced to investing.
And so this was way back in which year?
So it was way back in 2006, actually. Five or six beginning, yeah.
So almost 20 years you'll be completing in this journey over next 2-3 years.
So first 3-4 years were, I will not count them as investing because it was, you know, trading sometimes. It was also doing F&O or sometimes, you know, just burning money. So it was not really a thought process behind, you know, what I want to do or whether I want to become an investor or not. But yeah, you can say almost post that, it has been a very, you know, concentrated effort on improving my investing over the years. So maybe 16, 17 years.
Right. So over the years, you must have seen a lot of bull markets and bear markets. And jitne bhi aapne 2008 ka bhi experience liya hoga, so there is also a saying ki yaar bolna to alag hai but experience karna ekdam alag rehta hai.
Correct.
तो ओवर द ईयर्स साइकिल्स के साथ अपना कैसा एक्सपीरियंस रहा है, एंड विद दीज एक्सपीरियंस हाउ ईच एंड एवरी साइकिल हैज मेड यू बेटर इन्वेस्टर, व्हाट डू यू थिंक अबाउट दिस?
करेक्ट. सो आई टुक वेरी लॉन्ग टू अंडरस्टैंड दिस साइकिल्स बिकॉज आई हैड नो बैकग्राउंड इन इन्वेस्टिंग. सो देर वॉज नो वन इन माई फैमिली हु वॉज इन इन्वेस्टिंग और देर वॉज नो thought process to, you know, understand the Charlie Mungers of the world or the Warren Buffets of the world. So I entered investing accidentally, and I you know, learned it the hard way. But the point is that I always, you know, invested the capital that I was, you know, making either by, you know, working somewhere or even after, you know, my 12th grade, I started teaching. So, you know, whatever money used to come, I used to put it online. So I have observed that over the years that market cycles definitely, you know, are very brutal. But if you kind of, you know, get the valuation right, then those cycles don't affect you that much. So, for example, in 2008 cycle, when I did not, you know, realize that, you know, the kind of companies that we were buying did not have those kind of cash flows, because till then, you know, you didn't even understand what real cash flow statements, you did not have the knowledge to prepare them as well. But when I then completed my CA and got understanding of what cash flows is, the next cycle you took care of that, you are focusing on good cash generating businesses. But in the other cycle, then something else changes, right? So it was a 2016-17 cycle where we thought all demonetization and GST will bring the formal economy. But then it turned out that it resulted in a mini crisis where ILFS happened and a lot of Yes Bank happened. So every cycle has different challenges and some things that create cycles and some things that break cycles. But what I've observed is that when I started to look at what characteristics do great entrepreneurs have and what are their winning, points in terms of how they've created the organization and what are the things that differentiate them from the other competitors, be it their cost dynamics, be it their, you know, marketing setup or their distribution, that is where these cycles don't matter, because down cycles make these entrepreneurs even stronger. And when I realized that, that is when my investing improved, and that is where now I focus a lot on, you know, predicting which entrepreneur is doing what and how it can change the game in his company or his sector, rather than focusing a lot on market cycle, because that is not which I can control. We just try to take care of, you know, where the global macro or the overall theme is going, because that drives a lot of earnings, right? So if there's a trend towards renewable energy, it will drive a lot of, you know, pool of earnings for those companies. So definitely you want to be in those pools where profits are growing faster. But then beyond that, I don't consider spending a lot of time on, you know, predicting cycles to be very productive, rather than focusing on good entrepreneurs, great entrepreneurs who are targeting these pools. They may be going through a tough phase in that cycle, in that particular maybe sector, but then they can grow eventually in that sector is what I look for more most of the times.
Right. I think he makes a very important point. If you're basically top-down approach, then second approach is to be very bottoms-up. I think if you bottoms-up, you're able to identify such entrepreneurs or businesses, it's a very good basically leg up in your journey. So linked to this question is that when we do management analysis, I think one of the great hallmarks of the approach which your company also adopts is the importance of scuttlebutt and the importance of looking at execution management. And also a very interesting thing is that I've been to their office also. So they actually, some look, dekhte ki kafi logo ke mentors, other investors hote, so they have entrepreneurs as mentors, which is also very, very interesting to notice.
So what I've understood is that the whole investing world spends a lot of time in reading books about great investors. Somehow I feel that you make a lot of money by, you know, being in a company if you understood the business well. That is what, you know, gives you a lot of confidence to hold the company even when the whole sector is going through a downturn. So long-term investing sometimes requires patience, which a lot of big investors have taught us, but it also requires a lot of business understanding. And that is where I feel very few books are written or very few investors spend a lot of their time on. And in Niveshai, we thought that, you know, we will make business understanding as our main, driver for holding stocks or for identifying stocks. In the initial years, it was troublesome because, you know,
there used to be a lot of businesses that we didn't understand because of, you know, not being able to spend a lot of time in comparing a lot of stuff. But over the years now, when we have understood a lot of businesses, now it is working a lot in our favor to have gone through that exercise. Because if I know the journey of an entrepreneur and if I understand his business tactics properly, it gives me a lot of head start in terms of being early, and also enjoy the journey longer, even when traditional valuation matrices would either give a sell because the valuations are high or will not trigger a buy because the business right now is not still generating those kind of cash flows or still not generating those kind of you can say, earnings power for you to make a business case. So we've been very lucky that a lot of these things we were able to do after discussing with people who are in that industry, right? So when, for example, we were understanding, you know, a very small company which was, you know, maybe making a very simple product, which is, you know, maybe a shunt resistor, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So if you would generally look at that business, you would say that it's not that good a business or it's just a very small business. But when you talk to a lot of people who are users of those shunt resistors, you would come to know that this company has built a product which in a way is a world-class product, and it is very difficult for a lot of other players who were claiming for many years that we can make a shunt resistor, but they were year after year failing to make that quality shunt resistor, right? Or for example, we identified a company which was, you know, making renewable energy, you know, glass or solar glass for that matter. So it's a very simple process if someone starts that business. But interesting fact was that China came in that business in 2012, and by 2018, all players in the world shut down except for two players. One was Borosil Renewables were here, and the other was a German plant. So people don't think from the perspective that if a solar entrepreneur is wanting to order, you know, a material and he requires regular supply, he requires less breakages, he requires a long-term assurance for quality and, you know, a scale, that is not very easy to fulfill. And that is where a lot of times when a investor looks at the business, he'll say, well, there is no barrier to entry and hence the market would be flooded and there'll be tens and thousands of players will come in this sector. But execution at scale and, you know, that quality is sometimes challenging. So a lot of moats that, you know, we've learned from, you know, all of our guru, which is, you know, Buffett, we try to, you know, guide it towards that you only if the business has those modes, we'll look at it. But sometimes these are, you know, businesses which don't have those kind of modes, but it is the zeal of the entrepreneur and his ability to handle the scale. And if you look at in India, in Indian context, that is even more important because as the only country where we've seen, PVC pipes being, you know, with a majority player. Even, you know, APL Apollo has maybe, you know, been a leader in, steel pipe tubes for pipes for that matter. So these are businesses which are not, you know, having such high market leaders in other parts of the world. But in our country, execution is something which people miss out. And that's where a lot of money has been made in these obvious competitive businesses, but at the same time, scaling them up was a challenge. Making a sizable business over there was a challenge because in India, many of these families have that secret sauce of how to make it work, right? And that is what has meant that they are successful across various businesses. So it is not like in US, there's an entrepreneur who just focuses on a single product and he scales it up. Here we've seen business groups having seven businesses and there are six of them are doing very well, right? So India is a unique country and I guess we should understand Indian entrepreneurship well to invest in Indian markets. So that's where we try to, you know, focus over there.
Right. I think he put it very wonderfully because if you look at some of the last 4 or 5 year big winners, chai phenol ke andar Deepak Nitrite would have made money. Phenol is a global commodity, not just an Indian commodity. or something like just example of the solar glass manufacturer, Borosil Renewables, that is also decided by a lot of time global prices. I think anti-dumping duty with India mein. Or even something like a solar industries which manufactures technical ammonium nitrate, seemingly bulk explosives. Matlab cheeze bulk hai, but paisa ban raha hai because these entrepreneurs have identified those profit pools and scaled that like anything. So just a question around this, just to go deeper into this. So I think recently we have also seen this in the solar panel industry, that how one of the entrepreneurs, like Vari Energies, how he took that opportunity. Because seemingly outside the clear commodity business, right? And once you start looking at it, then you start identifying, yeah, ye banda different kya kar raha hai baaki sab se. So how to develop a framework around such execution of management? Yeah. Because we see ki the PAT has scaled 10x last 2-3 years.
So if you look at when we were, pitching this idea to a lot of investors, and a lot of them, you know, from the industry were good friends, and most of them had this mindset, बॉस अरविंद ये तो यार ये कमोडिटी बिजनेस है यार, इसको कैसे वैल्यूएशन मिलेगा, अपन का एग्जिट मल्टीपल क्या होएगा. सो देर वर अ लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स विच वी थिंक थ्रू एज अ व्हेन वी वेयर दैट इन्वेस्टर हैट, वी लुक एट व्हाट एग्जिट मल्टीपल शुड आई पे, दिस दैट एंड ऑल दैट मैटर्स अ लॉट. आई एम नॉट सेइंग दैट इट डज नॉट मैटर, बट द पॉइंट इज दैट इफ समवन लुक्ड एट द सोलर मॉड्यूल मैन्युफैक्चरिंग बिजनेस, बी इट चाइना और एल्सवेयर, it is a business which has had a lot of disruption over the years, and hence people feel that it will not make money, right? But after the phase of disruption, for example, in China, there were 4 players which emerged, like the Longis of the world, the Jinko Solars of the world, and these were companies whose market cap were $150 billion, $100 billion, and hence there was an anecdote that these are scalable businesses, and only a person who understands scales and is able to, bring the cost down at that scale will be the entrepreneurs who would survive. And leverage is something which has killed a lot of businesses in this sector. And when we observed a lot of these companies in Indian context, they were doing the typical mistake that a lot of these Chinese companies made and they went bust, is what was loading up debt to grow, or maybe, being very early in committing capital, even though, the technology had not, become stable. Hitesh Bhai, interestingly, Hitesh Bhai Doshi is the entrepreneur who runs Vari, did not commit those mistakes. He's a very simple entrepreneur, but he thinks scale because the other business that he runs. So we studied what was the background of Mr. Hitesh Doshi. So he came from a background of running a Valve business and successfully scaling it up and selling it and taking a call to bring that capital into solar. So that was a time when he was running both the parallel businesses, and the solar business needed more capital. So he sold off his other business to bring more capital to solar rather than taking debt. He had an option to take debt. And many players which decided to take a debt at that time, their balance sheets went for a toss, right? Again, when history gave Hitesh Bhai an opportunity to grow fast, he decided to take equity capital rather than debt capital in 2022. And, it is one of the examples in world history, the kind of scale that a non-Chinese player has made, because from just 2 gigawatts, he went up to 13 gigawatts in a matter of, 18 months without taking, any debt. So they understood that at scale, they will be able to be very competitive with China as well. At scale, they'll be able to attract large utility scale customers, which are higher EBITDA margin generating, customers. And that is what they did. For many years, they worked on US certifications. They got all the certifications in place. And when they got the chance to scale up, they scaled that business up. And the domestic industry is struggling with overcapacity, for example, and EBITDA margins of just 3-4%, 5%. And Hitesh Bhai is able to make, a blended margin of 13%, where exports are making maybe 17-18% also. So that kind of business he was able to build because of his focus on not doing what can, maybe derail his business. Another case in point, we observed the second best player in India, the corporate overheads and of that business, is around 80 crore salary at the corporate level. Here, Hitesh Bhai scaled up that business 5x more than the second guy, and the overall expenses were just 68 crores of salary, including corporate overheads. There are 20 people of the family working in the business, right? So it looks very glamorous to, you know, appoint this, that, yeah, wo. But the point is, it's a business of, you know, scale. And the only thing that you need to do is put up manufacturing and just keep on growing the scale. You don't need very fancy management people. And that's what the family understood. In fact, the first round when they raised, and I just candidly went up to Hitesh Bhai that, you know, this is the amount that we are, you know, trying to raise. So what can be, you know, our share in terms of, you know, fundraise fees? So he connected to me to his nephew. Then I talked to his nephew. He told me, I explained him, ke Rushabh Bhai, yaar ye fundraise fees ka kya? To Rushabh Bhai told me, hum fees nahi le rahe. Maine bola, nahi le rahe matlab fees deni hoti hai. Fundraising ki fees aap doge na, apne aapke liye fundraise kiya hai to. So it is that kind of a family which doesn't understand all these, you know, financial jargons, ya ye bahut sari cheeze jo fancy world put up karta hai. But if you look at the capital structure, it is one of the best in the industry. And in solar business, if at scale you can have that kind of a capital structure, we thought that is their winning point. Because if 16% EBITDA first, they are making more EBITDA because of the export orders that they have of certifications, which was a differentiator than the other players. And if the other guy was making 10% EBITDA, his margins used to go to just 3% after, because post EBITDA, there were a lot of these expenses, which in a way, you know, dragged their earnings. But Hitesh Bhai was easily able to make 7% PAT, for example. So we think through a lot of these factors, because in down markets, when you have lesser overheads, when you have this kind of lean structures, you're able to actually gain market share, right? So because we have had a lot of these case studies where people in seemingly commoditized businesses had scaled up. And if you look at, interestingly, in India, you know, you take up commodity businesses and their long-term CAGRs would sometimes give a run for the money in terms of all these branded, you know, businesses. So it is sometimes very rewarding if you can find a business which seemingly looks commoditized but requires skills, requires, you know, an entrepreneur to be dedicated for a you know, longer period of time in terms of building that scale, making those intangible, you know, moats around, and hence making it very difficult for a new entrant. And in India, see, in taboo-based society like ours, no one wants to take heads on entrepreneurs which have been successful, right? So if, you know, in your own town, if you look at, there'll be seemingly very simple businesses, but there's only one guy who's doing that. And you'll feel, yaar, isko koi challenge kyun nahi kar raha hai, to itna simple dhanda hai, but wo nahi karta hai koi. Because it is not like we are in a capitalist, full-blown capitalist economy like the US, where there are challenges. So in India, if you can find those kind of entrepreneurs, you can get the starting valuation right, because generally these businesses are not valued much. And when they keep on delivering, market suddenly realizes that and, you know, takes them to the pedestal, and then there are fancy reports that are made around them, and then the re-rating happens. So yeah, we do focus on a lot of these entrepreneurs which we feel can, you know, reach scale. And we believe once scale is reached with, you know, good return ratios on capital, markets do value those businesses. Only when people take a lot of leverage and the return ratios fall drastically is when money is not made. So that is where we focus largely on when we are understanding plays like Wari.
I think he has also again put it wonderfully, because seemingly sometimes commodity looking businesses, like coffee processing ho gaya, steel tubes ho gaya, like sometimes companies just enter and they create a scale business out of it. Matlab after last 10 years ke winners dekha to kaisi boring companies dekh lenge, koi cable and wire bana raha hai, koi someone is basically into selling of sanitary ware.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is a type of trend that happens.
I give this exercise to my team a lot, that take out the winners of the last 5 years, the top winners of the last 5 years, and the top winners of the last 10 years, and try to figure out the best of the best investors of India and the best of the best fund managers of India, and try to look at how many of those people got those stocks. And most of the times, top five will not be there in anyone's portfolios. So that answers a lot of things, right? I'm not saying that you will always, you know, catch the top five, but I always tell to my team that it should be our endeavor, that at least one of those top five should be ours, right? And in that, it creates that kind of a... Because if you look at these top five or top 10 across various cycles, there will be very interesting names that will come up, right? A Bharat Rasayan, for example, right? It'll throw up in the top 10 winners in the past decade, for example, right? So these kind of companies generally don't have a narrative. Generally, they are looked at as, you know, businesses which are not good quality and things like that. And I feel that you know, you and maybe, you know, I don't know, a lot of your listeners would have also you know, they will be definitely students of the market. But one thing that has stuck to me that I also now try to think a lot is what is my perspective which is different from the... So Utpal Seth, for example, you know, in his talks very nicely talks about the variant perspective that one can have. And it is that variant perspective that sometimes gives you the chance to make that exceptional returns. Because if everyone believes that an HDFC bank can, you know, do 15% CAGR easily for a decade, then markets are not your slaves to offer you that on platter, right? It will not happen like that. You have to have a variant perspective about why that business would do something and still is undervalued because other people don't have that perspective, right? So I'll just give you a small example. When we were looking at Ethos, right, we visited a lot of their stores. And, you know, one of the store manager told me a very interesting thesis that in Delhi, for example, they will have a store in a Chanakya and they will have almost 7 employees in that store, for example. But there'll be 5 others which will be on field. I thought, field matlab, aap log ghar ghar jaake thodi watch bechte ho. But what he told me is, sir, aap wealth management business mein? Maine bola, haan, main wealth management business mein hu. To bolo, aapki sales office pe baith ke zyada hoti hai ya logo ke paas bhi aap jate hoge? Maine bola, hum jate hain definitely logo ke paas. To bole, yaar, hum bhi wealth management business mein hai. Bole, kaise? Wo bole, log portfolio banate hain watches ka. People make a portfolio around luxury watches and these people are, you know, going and having, you know, maybe lunches with these HNIs, or they are holding cocktail parties for these people and they are trying to, you know, tell them that, boss, aapke collection mein, why it makes sense to have this watch. And that kind of, you know, hit my mind that if we believe that post-COVID, there is a K-shaped recovery and we are saying that here are these, you know, millionaires in India which are doing very well and they're killing it in stock markets, in real estate markets, in their own businesses, the cash flows are... You look at cash flow improvement in all businesses has been fantastic. So there's a wealth effect, income levels have gone up, and hence, beat wealth management, which is the business I am, and I was seeing the growth myself in my business. It makes sense that, you know, people will have that kind of, you know, watch collection, art collection, whatever. So that, you know, made me believe that, boss, this business will not require the number of stores that we fear, because opening a lot of stores means there's a perennial, you know, problem in terms of the capex, right? But beyond a level, once the store in a particular, you can say, area becomes famous, they can easily increase the sale by hiring these extra people who can hold, you know, these kind of events. So that's where, you know, that variant perspective, for example, helped us. So it is about variant perspective about an entrepreneur also, about a business also. You have to just try to think, what is it that the market might be missing? And only then you get the valuation, which in a way doesn't make sense to the other guy.
Right. I think so. Idea of variant perception, like, is also very important. Ki aapka opinion kaise different hai versus the markets. So linked to this question of like past, like 5 years ke best winners, past 10 year ke best winners, another one of the observations that I've had is that actually, if we just look at the small cap landscape, large cap, small cap, mid caps, And if we look at some of the 5 to 10 baggers within the small cap landscape, or companies which have even given more than 10 bagger returns. So companies with more than 5 bagger returns, 5 to 10 bagger returns in small cap in small cap landscape is close to 42% of the index. In large cap landscape, 1 to 4x, which is compounding outcomes, is close to 60 to 65% of the universe. It's called compounders. Even in mid caps, around 35 to 37% of the universe has given more than 5 to 10x returns, or minimum 5 to 10x returns. But the beauty of stock picking also comes through, like what Sir was explaining. If you look at small cap landscape, mein dekho, companies which have fallen by more than 25% or have become delisted, so the answer is close to nearly 49 to 50% of the universe. Beech mein compounding outcomes wale ko, I think 4 to 5% hai sirf, but that just shows you that this question which I'm about to ask him said, how, like, for a young investor who is into active investing, again, dekho, jo passive kar rahe hain, aapke liye badhiya hai. Aapke against hum kuch nahi keh rahe, jo Nifty mein kar rahe hain, Nifty is very good. Nothing against you. But those who are into active investing, how important is to do a market cap type weightage of their portfolios? Because I've seen I'm not criticizing any young investor, ki I've seen a lot of young investors who seemingly want to do well in markets, who have different expectations from the market, but at the end of the day, their own portfolios end up replicating the index itself, that they have companies of 10 lakh crores, 5 lakh crores, 8 lakh crores. So how do you think about this entire scenario?
So, you know, see, problem ye hai na ke there is a lot of media buzz about compounders, and there are a lot of books written on these kind of, you can say, investing where it doesn't require, a lot of hard work, for example, right? You take up the 10, best banks in a country, or 10 best this and that, and you make a portfolio and things like that. So the point is that over the years, what I believe is when you're young, that is when you can take, excessive risk. I don't know why, people try to, think that I need to preserve my capital, and hence I will, and all these, financial concepts like diversification and then making an Excel and trying to extrapolate that if I do this 15% CAGR over a 40 years period, then my portfolio would become this. मेरे को लगता है यार ये सब कुछ चलता नहीं है बाजार में मतलब यू हैव टू यू नो बी वेरी मच कॉग्निजेंट ऑफ द फैक्ट दैट यू हैव टू मल्टीप्लाई योर कैपिटल बिकॉज यू विल हैव लार्ज ड्रॉडाउंस मार्केट इज नॉट अ लीनियर मशीन राइट सो टू विदर दोज ड्रॉडाउंस और पीरियड्स वेयर देर विल बी नो रिटर्न टू बी मेड यू विल हैव टू मेक स्ट्राइड्स whenever the wind is in your favor, or whenever you get chances it's in cricket, right? You cannot say that main har ball pe single le lunga to bhaiya mera ho jayega ye, to because there'll be a lot of balls that you'll not be able to score a single, right? So hence you have to hit for boundaries and sixes when the ball is a sitter, right? When you get a full toss or anything. So investing bhi yehi hai yaar, matlab if you're young, you have to take your chances, you have to hit those full tosses, and you have to speed up your multiply your capital initially, and hence you then have a capital which is large enough for you to compound, and then you can set it in that context. So I will definitely recommend if people can do a bit of hard work, and these days data is available, I guess SOIC is building that community, right? Wherein you are actively trying to teach a lot of people how they can take their investing in their own hands. And for example, even 20% of the people are successful, but it's a huge, upside for them, because in the past, not even 2% people used to be successful at direct investing, right? So even if that number goes to 20%, there's a huge, huge improvement, right? So, and Indian economy is in a stage where I guess if someone does active investing, maybe these 2 decades or maybe whatever, this decade at least, I believe a lot of money can be made. Post that, you can go the US way, whatever. Still stock picking, works in US at this stage also, but it has become very difficult over there. In India, I still feel that there are a lot of these opportunities which will come up. I mean, we are seeing a lot of regional businesses, they are coming up and, coming to the capital markets and doing an IPO. And a lot of people in that region definitely know about that business, right? So you have to look around, you have to, apply your mind. and do a lot of due diligence, because that is something which if you don't do, you will get your head handed to you, and that is what something you don't want to do. But even if you're not successful for that matter for 1 year or 2 years, my guru always used to tell me that Arvind pareshan mat ho, hamara sabse bada paisa third cycle mein bana hai. Pehle cycle mein aap mistakes karte ho jo aapko pata hi nahi hai. Second cycle mein aap wo wali mistakes nahi karte ho, but still markets mein aapko maturity mein time lagta hai. And the third cycle where you make a lot of money. So this is a typical business where a lot of gestation period is involved, but once you start making money, you definitely make the multiplier returns, and that's where a large capital is made. So I'll definitely not recommend people making portfolios around large caps which, you know, already are 100 baggers or 500 baggers in their journey, because you will always find newer sectors which are growing fast, and the young generation actually can identify them early because they are the people who are creating those trends. I mean, I don't need to tell someone why an alcohol company is doing well, because these young people know which brands are doing well, right? So, and in a new trend, always the companies would be of smaller market caps, right? Because a CDSL cannot be a large cap like a bank, right? Because that business itself, the profit pool is limited. It cannot have a large profit pool like, your banks or like your, you know, maybe oil and gas. So similarly, niche consumption, for example, be it liquor, be it, you know, luxury cars, or be it, you know, watch retailing, all these are businesses where the young people can have a lot of insights, but they want to invest in a, you know, oil and gas company, or they want to invest in some tip that has come because that company has done very well, and then they start building portfolio around companies who already, you know, went 10x, 20x or 100x for that matter. So that's what I will recommend, to have some originality in terms of what they are wanting to pick as a company, look around for trends, identify trends, and then take a bet, which will help them a lot.
I think this is an extremely valid point, as Peter Lynch bhi kehte hain. This actually reminds me ki recent case study hai ki mera cousin hai, he bought an SUV, and gaadi jaisi ghar pe aayi sabse pehle gaadi ka kya hua, PPF hone gaya, right? And that's a trend that is again catching on amongst people, right? So again, you can observe some of these things which are happening all around you. So interesting that you brought up CDSL in the last bit of comment, because next question is linked to a very interesting type of investing which we have also done, and this pe badi interesting cheez hai, thodi si story hai. 2016-17 mein there is this company Garware Technical Textile, abhi uska naam change ho gaya, pehle I think Garware Waldrops hota tha naam. So I was searching for reports yaar ki kus pe koi information hai nahi, something I can find, because this company was supplying nets to Wimbledon and all these things, and that is where I got in touch with Nivesh Shai, right? So I got one of the reports on this company, and that was actually written by that was actually basically one of the first reports they put out on that company. So that is how I got in touch. But one interesting thing kya thi ki chahe wo Raj Ratan over the years raho, chahe wo Swiss Glasscoat ka example raho, chahe wo Garware ka raho, all these interesting businesses have one thing in common, is that these are proxies. Yeah. These are not direct trends. Yeah. So linked to this, sir, how important is to study the value chain? And identify such proxies, because usually these proxies have much higher ROCs and much more asset-light business models.
There's another advantage of these proxies, which, you know, actually led us to look at those, because, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to identify the trend. See, if you try to predict in the markets ki ye cheez acha karne wali hai, and if you're early, then also it's a problem, because then you will, you know, maybe a couple of years, you will just, you know, maybe spend a lot of energy on it and then just sell it at a wrong time. The wonderful thing about a proxy is that the main theme, when it starts, generally these proxies start doing well after 3-4 quarters. So you get a lag in terms of identifying the numbers of the main theme. And if that theme has kicked off, then the proxy's earnings would actually kick off after 3-4 quarters. For example, you know, if there is, you know, a lot of demand in terms of, you know, any gear company, for example, you know, what happens is that there is unsold inventory that is there in the system. And hence, till that inventory gets sold, new manufacturing will not come, right? So when the capital goods industry, does well, or general manufacturing in the economy does well, the capital good orders actually come at a later stage. Why? Because people are already having spare capacities. So for example, if a chemical factory is at 60% capacity, and when it gets more orders, it goes to 70, 80, 85%, and then it starts ordering, for the new plant. So you can observe if that industry is doing well. And once you establish, yes, no, they're doing very well, that is where you will get the proxy demand then going up drastically. And hence, we had time to, place our bet and be very certain that the trend has started. And the other good thing is that when the trend of the main industry subsides, generally the proxy's trend keep on going up. For example, HLE glass coat that we identified, when the chemicals started to do well, HLE actually started to do well almost after 2 years. But it did well even after the chemical cycle, collapsed, and still we got a year more of earnings for HLE, because the people who announce expansions, even when the chemical industry is bad, they will still, complete their projects at least, right? Because they've secured the funding, they have the loan and everything. So that's where we believe that proxies give us a good hunting ground for identifying companies which can be beneficiaries of the large trend, at the same time not burning out our energy in terms of identifying the trend and then, being very early in that trend. And a lot of these defense companies, for example, they started to do well post-COVID. Railway companies started to do well. Now, we generally don't invest in PSUs, right? And that is where a lot of return has been made. But we thought, at least I can find proxies to these PSUs. If an HAL is growing, then I can find out who are these private enterprises who are vendors to an HAL, right? Who are vendors to a Mazagon Dock, for example. And hence, we could find a HBL Power or a Centum Electronics or a Vinyas or all these companies who are suppliers to these defense or railway PSUs. And that is where we were late in the defense, we were late in the railway bandwagon, but still, the returns are almost the same because we got almost 1 year to look and see and observe whether the government is serious this time or not. Because we went into Titagarh wagons in 2018 and we sold at a loss because the foreign subsidiaries were making losses, the government orders were haywire and payments were, haywire. So this time around, we could wait easily for a year, look at the trend, see that the government sincerity is there, see that the balance sheets are improving, see that the order book is going up, and then still get companies which were a proxies in that space, and when their business is improved. And initially, these companies were facing issues because when the order books at the PSU level went up and they started ordering to these proxies, they were facing a supply chain problem because the electronics were expensive, or post-COVID, a lot of supply chains were not proper. So their margins actually went down initially because they got large order, but to fulfill that order, the cost of raw material went through the roof, and hence most of them were not throwing numbers. So market was not appreciating their numbers, even though the volumes were increasing, because there was no profitability. But when the supply chains eased, the profitability of an Avintel shot up, or for that matter of HBL shot up. So that, in a way, we've over the years experienced that proxy investing has been very lucrative because market give you time before valuing those businesses, and that time is of essence. See, as an investor, you got to have time to buy, to size up your bet. Because if a trend starts, you're late in the trend, then your mental construct goes out of order, because then FOMO kicks in, a lot of things, then you don't make a proper decision. In proxies, you get that time. And if you get that 6 to 8 months of time to place your bet and scale it up, that's one of the best things that you can have. So what has helped us is that it has given us that initial buying time, and also at the time of exit, a lot of data points of the end industry to track, and hence try to get again a quarter more to get out of those stocks if there is something bad happening in the main sector. So yeah, I mean, that is where I believe proxy investing does wonderfully well if you do it well.
I think while he was talking about it, like value chain and proxies, so I was just thinking about, because just before the podcast, we were speaking about this industry. Today only, like they say, in the example of the metering industry, right? So advanced metering infrastructure. So there are service providers, then there are advanced like companies who are actually providing the smart meters. Then there are companies who are providing them with the entire modules of the smart meters, and there are companies who are also selling them the shunts. So within one value chain, you can just start identifying a 25 crore smart meter installed on our 4 or 5 years. So this is the proxy.
And another thing very importantly that you said, that if you think about that shunt bioga opportunity, relay bioga, ye bioga. So the advantage of breaking up the value chain is that if you try to speak to 10 guys in the industry, everyone would have a perspective about the growth of the business, right? But if you keep on, you know, granularly focus on that value chain, you will actually get a sense of where the whole size of the opportunity is. You don't get a sense of, you know, the size of the opportunity, but just reading a newspaper that this much smart meter are planned and this. But once you visit a factory and you look at, boss, this is the relay that he's buying, this is the shunt that he's buying, these many shunts will go in one assembly, or, you know, these many, you can say, PCBs would be required, and this is where that guy is sending his, you know, meter PCB, and these are the components he's importing. So you try to figure that wire mesh kahan se aayega, ye kahan se aayega. Your brain is exploding with ideas, right? Because you see, if you think like an entrepreneur, you want to find the best opportunity in that sector, right? And then your brain just tries to figure out, boss, shunt hai, PCB hai, ye hai, wo hai. And then you try to, you know, analyze the whole chain and try to find out where the market has already valued the things, where it is still not valuing. If this part of the business of, you know, a particular company can be so big, then what can be the re-rating which the market is currently not? And believe me, it has happened multiple times with us that by discussing with the aspirations of these entrepreneurs, we've got a vision ke boss itna bada bhi dhanda ho sakta hai. Because as an analyst, you cannot get that kind of a vision which an entrepreneur has, right? That this business, you know, they have seen in China, they might have, because if someone is a serious business person, he attends all, you know, global events of that particular industry. He is there participating in them. He reads all maybe journals regarding that business. And the vision that he has made is an informed vision, right? So that, if you can borrow, there's nothing like that, because you want to then align yourself to the vision of that guy who's worked very hard, has, you know, put his mind, soul and everything in that business and has achieved a critical scale from now that, you know, a scale up is going to be far more, you can say, smooth. He's done the hard work, and as a stock market investor, you get a chance to, you know, participate in the smoother ride actually, but we have that, you know, luxury of doing that. But off late, we've also started to participate. For example, this player that you were talking about, that we both are maybe considering investing, is an unlisted guy, but he's a phenomenal, you know, business entrepreneur. And even when he might be struggling for capital, if you think one step back and if you can get a lesser valuation and try to help scaling up, that is where I guess it doesn't matter whether if you're buying for 5 years, whether you're buying an unlisted business or a listed business, sometimes doesn't make that much difference. And what I've seen over the past 5 years, many times these great businesses who are maybe wanting to do an IPO in 3, 4, 5, 7 years are sometimes at a very attractive valuation, and their cash flows are good. They are just at the inflection point, and only capital can, you know, maybe solve that problem at a stage if you can identify them even better. But yeah, everyone doesn't, subscribe to that fact. But I have off late started to realize that if Buffett used to buy in Berkshire Hathaway, thinking that there is no tomorrow, the markets are going to be shut for 10 years, then how does it matter whether I'm buying a unlisted business or a listed business, right? Your decision making improves a lot. And hence, there's another bias that I've started to, you know, remove from my mind, that I only want to buy these companies which are in this universe, and even if they are overvalued, I keep on paying them up. I get to buy a lot of good businesses just because they're unlisted and they're just scaling up and they require capital.
One of the recent examples, like a steel tube manufacturer in unlisted space at 10p, listed space, an inferior company at 50p, 40p, 60p, no cash flows also. So actually, linked to this is also another very interesting question, is that something that I've also noticed over the years, is that the impact of business strategy, which eventually reflects on profits, balance sheet, and market capitalization of companies. So we've seen this, that sir, kuch companies go for an integrated approach. And then there are some companies who just stick to one part of the value chain. Jaise textile mein, there will be companies who are just into garment manufacturing. Then there will be companies who are end-to-end connected.
Right.
Similarly, similar trend we've seen, like within steel tube industry as well, there are few who just want to be converters.
Okay.
Kya HR coil bahar se lenge, yahan pe hum steel tube bana ke bech denge, 4,500 EBITDA per ton kamayenge, we'll move up more on inventory turn and asset turns.
Okay.
Whereas there are other companies who are following this integrated approach because they think that what if the HR coil guy becomes aggressive, gets into this, he can sort of, supply chain security is a risk.
Yeah.
They make higher EBITDA per ton, but generally their asset turns are lower, but their margins are higher.
Yeah.
So over the years, in your own experience, how this business strategy has eventually impacted market caps?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like one more example, because questions are more better samajhayenge mm-hmm. examples, like shrimp feed ke andar, aap dekhe to kuch companies hai jo shrimp processing mein thi, jaise Apex Food ka I think IPO aaya, kuch companies thi jo sirf feed bech rahi thi. Avanti Feeds, and I think the latter did much better versus the former. So in your experience, sir, how this business strategy decisions from entrepreneurs eventually impacts the outcomes?
So again, it has again been through examples that we've seen over the years. I'm not saying that, you know, I have a perfect answer for this, but generally what we've seen is that people who focus on a particular segment and scale that up, generally get a higher P multiple in the market rather than people having back-to-back backward integration, because what happens is many a times, A, it requires a lot of capital to do that, and many a time the cycles of these intermittent products are different. For example, if I look at a garment manufacturer, if he thinks that I'll have also spinning unit myself, I'll also have backward integration into dyeing, printing and everything, each of that business has its own cycle. So, for example, sometimes when garmenting is doing good, your spinning business is not doing good. When these both are doing good, the dyeing printing has a loss. So, what I've seen is that these business perennially, you know, have their managements come on a call and say, boss, we did this good, but this quarter, this thing did not happen. So, they have many things or many moving parts to handle. And businesses are, you know, these animals where, you know, some or the other things can go wrong. And when you have many moving parts, the probability of few moving parts not doing well, and then you're not able to reach the best in any one segment, right? Markets, and I tell this to a lot of my, people who join Niveshai, to my colleagues, that, you know, markets always want to give a bubble valuation, right? It is the nature of the markets to, you know, make someone a superhero, right? They will make you feel like, you know, this guy is the best entrepreneur in this particular business. But then that story has to weave up, right? And that will be worn up only if he is the guy who makes the best, sales growth, makes the best kind of margin at that point of time, or makes the best kind of, you can say, return ratios, right? And that is sometimes not possible when you have many segments too, because there is no story that can be weaved around. There is a lot of moving parts, and hence there will be some drag on the earnings or on the return ratios, or the capex would always require them to either dilute capital or take loans or whatever. So in my experience, in my investing journey, whatever great returns have been made have been companies who have not been backward integrated, or whose markets gave them exceptionally high PE multiples because of them being the poster boy of that business, right? So garmenting mein hai to Gokaldas, boss, India ka leader, listed player banega agar, तो उसको मार्केट एक हाई पी मल्टीपल देता है. दैट इज वेयर इंस्टीट्यूशन, देयर इज अ लॉजिक ऑफ द मार्केट राइट, बिकॉज इंस्टीट्यूशंस आल्सो वुड वांट टू कम वेयर देयर आर लेसर मूविंग पार्ट्स एंड हेंस दे गेट मोर वैल्यू. So we've seen businesses after businesses where Rain Industries doesn't get, and we've had positive, negative, both type of, you know, these case studies where Rain, even after throwing a lot of cash flow, doesn't get that P multiple because he has a lot of moving parts. There are foreign businesses, there are, you know, businesses where pollution, control board has stopped some capex, not for no fault of theirs, but then the whole industry is facing that. So there are a lot of these things which we well to believe that getting a high multiple in that business, and in markets you make returns, multiple returns, only when both earnings and P multiple go up, right? And that's where I have generally seen very less amount of plays where backward integration made their business smooth and they could keep on having a very good earning cycle and they could throw great cash flows and hence get a very high P multiple. So that's been my experience. I can be completely wrong, but yeah, that's what I hope.
Cases where the problem ho jati hai, like in that case of Usha Martin, right?
Yeah. Backward integration into steel. I mean, that's something. Again, it's a different business altogether, right? It's a global commodity, and hence you are throwing money in a business where absolute cash flows can come, but then it throws your business in a area where if there is something bad in one business, the other business gets severely impacted. So I generally don't want to do that.
Right. So linked to this question, because you're talking more about active investing and we haven't still discussed the topic of themes in India, right? So coming to some of the themes, what are some of the themes that you generally think are something like luxury consumption, all these themes which are here to stay for the next 3, 5, 7 years? And there could be cycles which happen, which is part of markets. But so, which are those themes which you think will be here?
Yes. The theme that I was just in one example that I told, that in India, if you look at the kind of money that is going to be made by entrepreneurs, by good class people, is going to be huge. And hence, you look at luxury real estate, luxury, you know, retailing, all these, you know, consumption, which is led to, is called discretionary consumption, is one pocket, for example. If you look at a lot of these companies for the first time are talking about India getting some manufacturing scale, right? So we are saying to the world that, boss, we are an alternative to China in mobile phone manufacturing, in engineering goods, in even metal ancillary. So there are a lot of multiple sectors where the alternate supply chain is playing out. And you're seeing a lot of IPOs happening around there. So raising capital is also not a problem. So there's a combination of confluence of two very strong factors. A, we getting more of the global business because the supply chains are rearranging. And B, capital markets allowing them to raise capital at a very good valuation means their cost of capital is also very low right now. Hence, there'll be multiple years that they can keep on expanding. So that means an obvious beneficiary of all these IPOs that are coming, or these SME, people make fun of the SME IPOs. But the point is, boss, people are raising so much money and many of them are going for a capex, right? So there's an obvious beneficiary sitting out there, which are capital goods, right? So people say, are nahi, capital goods bahut chal gaya. But you look at the kind of capital that is going to be, you know, thrown in our country in terms of capacities that are going to come up in various, you know, sectors, and you'll then come to realize, boss, we've still not seen the full throttle of the capital goods demand in our country. So that is one pocket, again, I still believe has a lot of steam left. Real estate construction, for example, I believe, be it commercial or residential, we'll see a lot of change in the technique of construction, right? So, for example, we had these buildings that were being built up by putting bamboos, right? So, you know, you cannot have, there'll be scaffolding that will be put up, right? There'll be precast, for example, and there'll be foam work, which is, so for example, it used to take 45 days for a floor to get built. But if you cast the whole floor, in foam work, aluminium foam work, you just put the concrete from above and 7 days, the whole floor is ready, right? And in markets like these, where in Delhi you have, you know, people, you know, lining up at 4 a.m. in the morning to buy, you know, 5-7 crore flats, your builders want to complete the buildings on time, right? Even before time, right? And hence, the technique of production of manufacturing real estate is changing a lot. So that is another trend where we are focused, and we have a lot of bets. Maybe the AC block or the panel which get just fixed, you know, in a modular format, or maybe the foam works, or maybe the scaffolding part. So yeah, you have to think through that where is large growth or the large volume of growth going to come from, and then try to think from that perspective. That very, and if you look at the kind of themes that have done well, be it defense, railways, real estate, these mimic what was happening maybe in our country way back in 2003-04. That cycle collapsed because maybe cash flows were not that great in that cycle. China became so dominant that we got, you know, dumping off metals, we got a dumping off a lot of these things, and we were not globally competitive, and that cycle went through a long breakdown because of what was happening in the power sector, for example, right? So a lot of capacities came, and Coal India suddenly said, boss, I'm just growing my production by 2%, and here people are producing capacities by 25%, right? So that is where we had to import a lot of coal, and then the whole cycle went bad. The NPAs happened in the banking cycle. This time around, if that was a 4 years capital, you can say good cycle, or these kind of sectors doing well, look at this time around. We have deleveraged balance sheets. We have India now actually gaining market share away from China in a lot of these businesses. China is no longer, it is dominant, but it is losing market, right? So that it's a reverse scenario then, when it was gaining market in these businesses. We, from being a net importer of defense in a lot of items, we are talking about exporter, right? So a lot of these things have, I'll say, if we had 4 year cycle, then maybe we have 7 year cycle right now, because it has legs, because it's deleveraged. It has legs because we have global demand to cater, just not the local demand. And also, if you look at our country, is now having that kind of per capita income which can sustain a lot of these infrastructure, you can say, spending. So I think we are at a point where you have to think differently and not question a lot about, arre, the theme to 2 saal chal gaya, bas bahut ho gaya. You can be surprised by the amount of growth that can come in a lot of these themes. I'm not saying that they are not over, they are undervalued, or they're at a very good, reasonable valuation. But you can still find few bets which can make sense by the sheer growth that can happen in our country around these themes. So yeah, I mean, we are trying to build portfolios around these themes still now.
I think so. But one thing that happens because of biases with investors is that there's not only price anchor, but there's also theme anchor. यार इस थीम में मेरे को लास्ट टाइम काटा हुआ था तो मैं इस थीम में इस बारी प्ले नहीं करूँगा राइट सो लिंक टू दिस बिकॉज सी मोस्ट ऑफ द टाइम्स तो इफ ईक्यू पार्ट इज नॉट करेक्ट देन इवन दो यू कैन बी लाइक आइंस्टाइन बट यू स्टिल नॉट एंड अप इन्वेस्टिंग एंड नॉट एंड अप मेकिंग मनी सो हाउ इम्पॉर्टेंट इज टू लाइक चेंज योर माइंड वेन लाइक न्यू फैक्ट्स अराइव अबाउट इन इंडस्ट्री बिकॉज पास्ट एंकर क्या होता है जैसे पी एस यूज में मेरा भी एंकर है लाइक आई ऑल्सो हैवन्ट मेड मनी इन पी एस यूज राइट बट पी एस यूज लाइक आई थिंक पी एस यू इंडेक्स इज अप 3-4x ओवर लास्ट टू एंड हाफ ईयर्स राइट सो बहुत सारी अपॉर्चुनिटीज और भी थी बट स्टिल सो जस्ट दिस क्वेश्चन बिकॉज अ लॉट ऑफ यंग इन्वेस्टर्स आर वॉचिंग दिस एंड दे फॉर्म दीज डोगमाज और एंकर्स की याद मैं इस थीम में नहीं इन्वेस्ट करूँगा यार मैं उस थीम में इन्वेस्ट नहीं करूँगा यार मैं इस थीम में इन्वेस्ट नहीं करूँगा विदाउट एक्चुअली डूइंग द रियल वर्क सो व्हाट विल बी योर एडवाइस टू द इन्वेस्टर्स हु आर वाचिंग दिस कि कैसे एंकर बायसेस या फिर बिहेवियरल बायसेस से वी शुड इमर्ज आउट
या सो आर ब्रेन्स यू नो डू दीज फनी थिंग्स एंड एज यू वेरी राइटली से आई ऑल्सो सफर फ्रॉम दैट राइट सो टीटागढ़ वैगन्स अगर लास्ट साइकिल में पैसा नहीं बना तो इस बार टीटागढ़ वैगन्स देखने में बहुत डर लगता है कि यार पता नहीं क्या होगा राइट So that's where, you know, it has happened with me and it happens with all investors. I guess the trick over here is to, you know, maybe try to find out hacks around. So this time in railway, so if I understood the whole railway theme last time around, I at least look at the railway theme better lens, because I've already, you know, done 50% of the work, and now putting lesser work, I can get better results, right? So you have to constantly tell your mind. And I've seen the best investors are those investors who don't have baggages, who don't have these, you know, the truest investor mindset, ki main ye nahi karunga, ye nahi karunga, ye nahi karunga, market mein ye nahi chalta, ye nahi chalta, ye nahi chalta, ye nahi chalta. I guess this market has been a typical market which has, you know, taught everyone a lesson that, boss, whoever complained that ye to main kabhi nahi karunga, ye to kabhi chalta hi nahi hai, wohi chala hai. Right? Railway chalta nahi hai, wo chala hai. Defense chalta nahi hai, wo chala hai. PSU chalta nahi hai, wo chala hai. Right? So markets are these animals which can make you humble at any point of time. So having that god-like image that, boss, I know, you know, in the market that these are these 15 companies in India aur yehi jo hai saukar aur baki sare chor hai ya yehi jagah paisa banega, markets have always taught a lesson hard way over there. So you have to be very humble, you have to, you know, every day talk to yourself, boss, this is where I have to be grounded, and this is where I have to continuously keep on learning, right? You have to keep your mind open. And that and actually has happened, right? One of my very good friends, he's a brilliant investor, right? He's made tons of money, right? And he is worth, you know, maybe, you know, multiple 100 crores. But in 2019, he bought a company, and somehow he got so fascinated by it, and I also got fascinated with it. We both were invested in that company, but in mid-2021, I thought that is not going to work, and I went out. He's still holding that company, and somehow last time when I visited him in Nagpur, he was saying, "Boss Arvind bhai, abhi paisa banaunga to isi mein banaunga, nahi to nahi paisa banega to bhi chalega." That statement kind of hurt me a lot, that I didn't think that he's going on the right path. He set out in this whole rally. In fact, the stock is at the same price what it was for 4 years, and almost 68% of his net worth is in that single stock, right? So it's not something which I believe is very healthy in terms of, you know, having a baggage or having something which, you know, will carry for a very long period of time in your mind, because markets are always trying to teach you a lesson. How early you learn it, the better it is, because the more time you take, it is, you know, something which the markets, you know, will take out that much amount of returns that you can make in the market. So yeah, we do end up making those mistakes ourselves, but yeah, learning quickly is what I'd say. Having a flexible mindset is what I'll say works a lot in the markets, and I've seen those investors who are flexible, in fact, being more effective than even the most diligent investors, right? The problem with a lot of diligent investors is that they have a lot of no-go areas. And in markets, you have to... So, main ye bolta, in fact, one of the very good firm that I also sometimes, you know, outsources some bit of, you know, things, they came up to me and say, sir, ye no-brainer hai. There's nothing to lose from here. Aap ye company kyun nahin lete ho? Ab bola usko, yaar, dost, mere ko wo company chahiye. Jahan pe there can be many things to lose, but what can be the amount of money that I can make is more important, right? Because in an idea where there is nothing to lose, why would the market serve it on my platter and, you know, give me a lot of returns? So I bring capital in the market to lose maybe 30, 40, 50% if I'm wrong. But I want to make 3, 4, 5x if I'm right, right? So I don't want to make 30% when I'm right and lose 20% or just 10% if I'm wrong. I don't want to play that kind of a game, right? So, yeah, I mean, you have to move away from those biases and try to figure out, learn from your mistakes. Always try to focus on where the overall trend is emerging. And if you can understand that trend, you make efforts at least. If then you're not able to understand, then don't get into FOMO. But at least make efforts with a fresh mind, because I've seen... In a lot of these companies, I've not looked at or I've not heard the con call even. Because last time, aisa hua tha, to yaar, ye to dekhna hi nahi apne ko. To ye to galat hai na. At least you take the facts, you do your diligence, and then if you still feel that it's not worth betting, then you don't bet. You don't get into FOMO ke kisi ne 5x banaya, to aap bhi har jaga, you know, har theme mein wo karoge. But at least paying attention, looking it afresh is something that I've realized, and I think I should do more going forward is my learning, at least.
Wonderfully put by Arvind, sir. So just coming to the last bit of the podcast, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've even lost track of time at the moment, right? right. So actually, one of the, like what he's talked about beautifully, though, we've been extremely grateful to this mega trend as well, and actually grateful to each and every viewer as well. One of the mega trend that has been happening is that retail investor are both informed hote ja rahe. पहले कुछ भी होता था, लाइक एफ आई आई सेलिंग होती थी, मार्केट्स यूज टू क्रैश, बट नाउ इट इज एस आई पी फ्लोज आर हिटिंग ऑल टाइम हाईज एंड स्टफ, एंड आई एम अज्यूमिंग अ लॉट ऑफ एक्टिव रिटेल इन्वेस्टर्स आर वॉचिंग दिस, सो एट्स ऑफ टू यू बिकॉज यू बिकमिंग वेरी इन्फॉर्म्ड. सो जस्ट अ वर्ड ऑफ एडवाइस फॉर अ लॉट ऑफ दीज एक्टिव रिटेल इन्वेस्टर्स व्हेन इट कम्स टू सर द आइडिया ऑफ पोर्टफोलियो एलोकेशन, बिकॉज इफ यू आर पोजिशनिंग आवर सेल्स फॉर टेलविंड्स, कहीं ना कहीं एक्सीडेंट तो होएगा सर. तो ऐसे कैसे करें कि एक्सीडेंट भी सर्वाइव कर जाएं, बाकी जो टेलविंड्स है पोर्टफोलियो की दे टेक केयर ऑफ द इंटायर टीम का स्कोर, राइट? कि जो आपको पूरा स्पीड का मीटर है दैट इज टेकन केयर ऑफ, बट जो भी एक्सीडेंट था दैट इज लाइक अ स्पीड बम्प एंड इट डजंट किल यू. सो पोर्टफोलियो एलोकेशन द प्रोसेस जस्ट फॉर अ लॉट ऑफ एक्टिव इन्वेस्टर्स और वॉचिंग दिस, वॉट विल यू द सॉर्ट ऑफ थिंक अबाउट?
It has been, you know, a really heartening fact that you very rightly said that the retail investor has for the first time in our country taken pains to give time to investing, and their decision, in fact, I've seen a lot of HNIs making lesser returns than the retailers in our country for the first time, right? All these HNIs used to feel that, you know, it is, you know, our game and we will play the way we want, or the FIIs used to feel that this is, you know, our home ground and we'll do whatever we want to. They used to sell and come back at the same valuation. But this time we've maybe taught that lesson to those FIIs that, boss, if you sell India, you cannot come back at the same valuation. So hats off to the retail investor who stood the ground and who's actually made efforts to understand a lot of disciplined investing via SIP, and also trying to then venture out into direct investing by coming to the markets, and your community has, you know, in fact helped a lot in terms of, you know, bringing that knowledge. So what I say is that, again, when you're young and when you're learning, and what I've seen, big investors make money because a lot of them are my gurus, some of them are my friends, and I try to, you know, learn a lot from them, is early on all of them were not thinking about having 40 stocks in their portfolios, right? See, you cannot understand 40 businesses. How can you, right? See, and there are different styles of investing, so you should do what suits you. But all these gyan of, you know, diversification and then, you know, making your chances of success higher by, you know, losing less, and all these things work well. But then in the initial phases, I'll tell you, multiplying your capital when you're coming. See, your SIP part will always take care of whatever diversification you want to do. So if you had that angle, you know, already cleared, then why do you want to create the same SIP portfolio in your own portfolio, right? You don't want, you know, the same kind of results, right? So if you want different results, you have to do something different. So I've seen simple people, right? A simple doctor based out of, you know, small town do exceptionally well in the markets by having just four ideas and sitting on it for 5 years, right? And today having, you know, a multiple 100 crores portfolio. So this is where I guess a lot of people have made exceptional wealth by A, betting where they understand the business. So that is what you should do for sure. Try to understand the business that you're wanting to invest with. And in the initial phase, limit the number of stocks, right? And the large winners would completely change your trajectory as an investor and will give you confidence to bet even better the next time, right? So you keep your tail long maybe, but the bulk of the portfolio should be in initially maybe max 10-12 names, not more than that. That is how you create or grow the portfolio to a state wherein it gives you a lot of success in terms of, you know, the extra return that you want to earn more than the market, right? And that's where you go way ahead than your peers in the market. And I think you should at least give yourself a chance, right? It's not that everyone will be able to do, but who knows? You know, you are that doctor from that tier two who will make that portfolio. So why not try it? And I've seen, if you have patience and if you play the game right, sure shot there'll be good success if you play it very well. So I'll encourage people to actually, in their initial 5-7 years, take more risk, make bolder decisions, and then maybe if it doesn't work out, then maybe come back to whatever disciplined investing they were doing.
Right. So now just coming to the last question of the evening, though, that is something that is extremely sad because I truly enjoyed the conversation. So, sir, a lot of youngsters are also watching this session. What will be your word of advice to them in their investing journey, and how can they accelerate their learning curve as well?
So, I mean, if you look at the whole way, we have seen India progressing, is that a lot of youngsters have contributed a lot in terms of the progress of the country. So even investing also, I believe, a lot of young minds have the starting point very right, because they don't have the baggages of the past. And I've always seen the young investors actually make the best CAGR returns because they don't have these, negative biases that a lot of the old timers have. So I'll tell them to go out and venture into, observing a lot of things. And many of those things, as we were discussing, they themselves would be doing. For example, if you look at men's grooming, right, as an industry, they themselves would be observing that as they're earning more, they're spending more on grooming, right? So there can be a play that they can find over there. So observe a lot in terms of what you're doing, how you're, socially your friends are behaving, what kind of trends are emerging, and what kind of these trends they can play by taking a bet in the markets. And that is where I believe the young people are best placed, and they can, make their portfolios do very well if they do that hard work. So be on the job right away. It doesn't matter whether you've completed your CFA or not. Doesn't matter whether you've completed your CA or not. I've written that on Twitter a few days ago that, whether you completed, or not. If you're passionate about markets, you're passionate about investing, you will find your way if you start early, right? So you should start early. That is very, very important. And you should try to, have your own mindset and try to find your own style. Because what I've seen is whenever I try to copy someone's style, or when I've tried to become, because I also manage public money, right? And I might meet a lot of my friends who are managing public money. And most of the times when I meet them and come back, sometimes I'll scold my team, ke wo to ye kar rahe hain, apan ye nahi kar rahe, wo nahi kar rahe. और फिर एक दो दिन बाद मुझे रियलाइज होता है कि यार हम जो कर रहे हैं वो भी ठीक ही कर रहे हैं. ये हमारा स्टाइल है, ये उनका स्टाइल है, राइट? दे वर्क इन अ फॉर्मेट, वी वर्क इन अ फॉर्मेट. सो फाइंडिंग योर ओरिजिनलिटी इज समटाइम्स वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट इन द मार्केट्स, एंड दैट इज व्हाट विल मेक यू अ लॉट ऑफ मनी. इफ यू आइडेंटिफाई विच आर द एरियाज दैट यू अंडरस्टैंड आर द ओरिजिनल माइंडसेट दैट यू हैव, एंड इन दैट इफ यू वर्क हार्ड एंड अर्ली ऑन इन योर लाइफ, I guess you'll do very good in the markets. And Indian markets, I believe, are, for example, if you look at what Peter Lynch did when he was, witnessing the whole growth journey of the US capital markets, he did a lot of hard work, right? He jokingly tells that I made the best money by going shopping with my wife, right? But that is where he identified a lot of brands which were being made in that country at that point of time, right? That is the kind of, moment which is there in our country, right? A lot of brands will get created in this coming 10, 20 years. A lot of stuff which was being done, traditionally will get to be done in a modern way in these 10 to 20 years, right? So that is where I believe the young people will be the biggest contributors in maybe doing those businesses, or maybe even identifying those businesses for investing. So, yeah, I mean, they're the best people, I guess, who are having this advantage of being in India at this point of time. So I say make the most of it, because no other country is going to, have this kind of magical growth ahead of themselves. So all the best to them, and may all of them do very well.
So with that piece of wonderful advice, we'll conclude the podcast. And thank you so much for coming, sir. I personally thoroughly enjoyed it, and I got tons of insight. Hopefully you also got tons of insight. Do mention which was your best moments of the podcast in the comment section below, and what were your key learnings from this podcast. Thank you so much for watching us.
Thank you so much, everyone.